for giving thanks Sunday. And don't we have a lot to be thankful for? I trust we do. If you don't have anything to be thankful for, you're missing out on something. The Psalm, people know Psalm 23, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And what's that next phrase? That basically means you'll have no lack. And I always say this, if you're not being provided for, you might want to check on who your shepherd is. Yeah. Psalm 23 is a great, you know, like, I don't have this. No, you might have the wrong shepherd. And so maybe today we can introduce you to that shepherd. I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Pastor, for the invitation. I could have declined. You might wish I had, but we're here. So had about a 2.5 hour drive this morning, a little foggy in my mind, but I think we got through that in Sunday school. And I tried to meet everybody this morning. There's like 10 of you. I'm sitting in the back like, I didn't get to shake your hand and say hello. So I apologize for that. Maybe afterwards we could. I just like to meet folks and let you know who I am, what I'm doing. And it's been a blessing. I've been saved for 36 years. I got saved as a 12-year-old boy. My mom led me to the Lord in our living room. They still live in that same house. So every once in a while I'll just go and sit in that spot where I trust. Different couch, same place. And see where the Lord saved my soul as a 12-year-old boy. I surrendered to the Lord at 16. I wasn't doing real well, I'll be honest with you. But as a 16-year-old, I said, I'm tired of fighting my mom. I'm tired of fighting my dad. I'm tired of fighting my pastor. Frankly, I'm tired of fighting God. And so 16 to 48, 32 years ago, I surrendered to the Lord. And He put me on a path that's been pretty awesome. And I've been blessed to serve in our church. My wife and I serve last 25 years in our church. I get to travel some, meet a lot of people, get to work with kids that ride the Sunday school bus. I love the bus route. Who rode the bus in today or who has ridden the bus? All right, so that's an awesome thing. That's my passion, and so I just love to reach out. I get to go into Gary, Indiana about every week. And if you can see some, can you imagine some of the places we get to enter into? And it's not always pretty. But I'll tell you what, it's fun to see those little kids come out on the bus. They've gotten cussed out. They've gotten screamed at. And they walk in. And just for about 3 or 4 hours, we get to just serve them Jesus a little bit. And when they get on the bus and we give them, you know, cookies or crackers or some sort of snack. My daughter, she's 13. She was making corn and gravy for the Thanksgiving meal that they're going to have on their bus today. And I said, girls, you just need to serve. You just need to serve. You just need to serve. Because that's what Jesus did. He came to serve. And so I trust that you'll be blessed today. Now, I warned you in Sunday school, this is going to be a tough sermon. I don't know where this is going to go. I'm not really sure how it's going to go. And you might say, well, that's too harsh. That's too rigid. But you don't have to have me back. So just petition, say, Pastor, don't have that big eyebrow bald preacher come back into our church ever again. And he probably will accommodate your wishes. But I do want to be a blessing. He asked me a while back to come. We talked earlier this week, and I said, I'm just making sure we're still scheduled for this, and so I'm glad to be with you today. But I want to be a blessing, and I don't want you to take this in a wrong way, but I just believe for this hour, this is the message the Lord have for us. I need this, so it's coming right down my throat first. So don't be defensive. Just open up and see if it's from the Word of God. If it's from God's Word, it's going to help us. I preached yesterday to 52 bus kids, and the message was, for the word of the Lord is right. Doesn't matter what's going on, who says this, when you break it down and come to this book, it is always, always right, whether we like it or not. So we're going to talk about God's word. But I want to talk today about, here's the title. Being thankful for everything. That's a big, important last word. Being thankful for everything. You can call it this, taking gratitude to a whole new level. Taking gratitude to a whole new level. Would you pray with me? I'll ask that we can put our phones aside unless you're using it for your Bible, because I really think this is a message, if we'll listen, God will help us. And we can leave here saying, God met with us. Now, I didn't hear from Brother Ramos. That's a waste of time. But if you hear from God, it'll be what helps us. And so let's look at that. Would you pray with me this morning and for me as we look at God's Word? God, I need you today. I come somewhat heavy about this message. I don't know why you would have me preach it, but I do believe this is the message for this hour. It's a great day. I don't know the folks, many of them that are here. I don't know what their needs are. I don't know what's in their hearts. But maybe by way of your Word that you would speak and challenge and help and correct, encourage whatever your Holy Spirit would desire to do. Maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know the joy of salvation. I pray that today they might find peace that passes all understanding, as we mentioned in Sunday school. We'd find that love of Christ. We'd find that saving hand that rescues us up from the miry clay and puts our feet upon a rock. There's needs here that I don't know, and really is not my business, but I pray that you would do your work as we listen on purpose. Would you help us, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to have you find Luke chapter 17. It'll be about two or three pages of notes before we get there. All right, so I got a little bit of an introduction, but when I was in college, I was praying about what the Lord would have me to do. I was open. I said, Lord, I'm willing to be a missionary. I'm willing to be a dog catcher. I'm willing to work for the postal service. I'm willing to work for mechanics, even though I can't fix anything. I'm willing to do those things. And I was seeking the will of God for my life. And about that time, our pastor approached some of the young people in our college and our high school and says, how many of you would be interested in going to see a mission field over in Zambia, Africa? And I thought, well, that would kind of be a cool thing to do. I was 19 years old, so I signed up to go on a mission trip with a couple guys. And I remember flying to London, then flying to Harare, Africa, and then landing in Zambia. And I spent about 1 month in Zambia, and I was able to see things I had never seen before. My eyes landed on kids that lived in huts with dirt floors. And I know you hear these stories and you can watch it on TV, but when you enter a village and that village is literally dominated by Satanism and witchcraft, it kind of gets your attention. Then we go into the schools, and it was a blessing because many of the schools spoke English, so we can go in and tell Bible stories and sing songs and have a good time. And I would say that 1 month in Zambia affected my heart. Jeremiah says this, mine eye affecteth my heart. I saw kids with dirt floors, and I saw them literally, basically, the whole time I was there, wearing the same apparel and not thinking twice about it. They just seemed happy. I remember giving out some balloons and pencils, and the missionary said, don't give them more than one balloon and don't give them more than one pencil because we don't want them to be spoiled. I remember a little girl had a balloon, and the balloon popped on the dry ground, and I remember tears just flowing down her face because she lost her balloon. Things that I just take for granted were highlights for these young people. I remember landing in Chicago and literally kissing the ground and saying, God, thank you for the country and the home that I have. It kind of shook my world. My wife grew up on the mission field in Monterrey, Mexico. Her brother pastors two churches down in the Mexico City area. And so we've taken some trips. And one of the trips I went on purpose to take my kids is I said, I want to show you something. I want to show you some things because I want you to learn to be thankful. So we went to a village while we were there. And in the village, basically all the homes were made out of pallets, tarps, and tin siding. I was walking through and see the kids running around barefoot, no shoes. But here's the thing. They were happy. They had smiles on their face. They were just enjoying life, and we were going to do some door knocking. I don't speak Spanish. My wife does. So we started after three doors. I was bored. I couldn't understand the conversation. I said, see ya. And I found a broken broomstick and a deflated ball, and I started a baseball game in the middle of that little village. And before 5 minutes was up, I had 20 kids out there. We were playing baseball. If you can say ball in Spanish and you can say goal in Spanish, you're pretty good. So I was like, pelota, goal! Kids started coming. We had a great time with a broken broomstick as our baseball bat, a deflated ball, and you would have thought they were in heaven. And I remember telling my kids, we went from there, then we went to an orphanage, a place called Rios de Misericordia, House of Mercy, and we went there and saw about 40 kids, and we saw their lives, and I was trying to teach my kids, hey, what we have is amazing. God, as was just sung, God has been so good. But I've come to understand that so often it's easy to be thankful for the things that we like. But it's not always easy to be thankful for the things that we don't like. And so my goal, my desire today is to encourage us, to help us to be thankful for everything. This is a big part of the will of God. I work with college kids. They come and say, Brother Ramis, I want to know, how do I find the will of God? How do I know if I'm supposed to go into ministry? How do I know who I should marry? That's a big one. If I'm not called into ministry, what should be my next step? And should I go into the military? I have all these questions that come to me, and I've got my patented answers. I'll say something like this. Well, you just need to spend time in the Word of God. And you ought to spend time in the Word of God. You need to spend time in prayer. And you ought to spend time in prayer. You need to seek godly counsel. And you ought to seek godly counsel. And while these things are true and ought to be done, I say this. There's a practical side of things when it comes to finding the will of God. Who do you think, now watch me, who do you think God is going to reveal what we call the mystery of God's will to? I was reading my Bible. I did not come across, there are lots of crazy names in the Bible. But when I was praying about who I should marry, I did not find the name Rosanna Joe Johnson in the Scriptures. So people say, well, you just got to look in the Bible. When I was looking, I don't see Rosanna Joe Johnson. So I couldn't necessarily find her name as God's will for my life. And so in a sense, it became what I would call the mystery, the unknown of God's will. Who do you think God's going to show His mysterious will to? Are you with me? So here's the question. For you to know the mystery of God's will, don't you think it's fair to say we ought to do the things that we already know is God's will? Let's apply this. Do you think if a boss has an employee that's not very responsible, he doesn't show up for work on time, he messes up pretty much every other day, he's not careful with the equipment, do you think that boss is going to give more responsibility to that employee? No, that makes sense, doesn't it? Do you think I am going to allow somebody to drive my vehicle when I've watched them drive go-karts and they're hitting everybody and everything? No, I'm not going to say, well, yeah, I just noticed that you just flipped it over three times. You broke this. You did this. Yeah, here's the keys to my car. It doesn't make sense, right? How about this? Are you going to give somebody more financial leeway when they're not financially responsible? Right? I'm not going to open my home up to somebody I know is a thief. Hey, I'm going to be gone for the next 5 days. My door's open. Just feel free to come and go, knowing that they have a problem with being a kleptomaniac. All I'm saying is, you kind of know the background of people, and it's going to cause you to determine how much liberty, how much responsibility, how much freedom you're going to give. Now watch me. Do you really think God is going to give us the mysterious part of God's will when we're not doing the things that we know is God's will? I want to talk today about the sin of ingratitude. Now hold on. Before you stop and tell me how thankful you are, before you get defensive, we've been programmed to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and we should. We have been teaching our teenagers and our teen discipleship program the art of writing thank you notes. I buy thank you notes all the time. Almost every time we meet, I hand a thank you card to them and I say, all right, we're going to write a note to your mom. We're going to write a note to your dad, if you have a dad. We're going to write a note to your Sunday school teacher. We're going to write a note to the bus mechanic. And it's interesting that some of them had no idea how to write a thank you card. But you say, why are you doing this, Brother Ramis? Because I believe the idea of being thankful is a part of God's will, and I'm going to prove it to you in just a little bit. But I have some concerns about our generation. We have young people that grow up and now they are entitled to everything. I'm blown away at how young people talk to their parents. Blown away. Now this is when moms and dads get excited. Since when should a young person reply against their mom or dad? Shame on us. I'm 48 years old, and the Bible still holds true that this guy right here ought to honor his father and his mother. Do I necessarily obey them? Not necessarily when it comes to the Bible and the things of God, but I'm very careful to ask my mom and dad their opinion on matters, even to this day. My dad's 79, my mom's 74. Not sure how long I'm going to have them around, but I want to be careful because that, my friends, is the will of God. We've got teenagers. I'm just telling you, you're not going to know the mystery of God's will until you do what you already know is God's will. It is God's will for us to be in church. You're here today so you can say amen. And you know, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. I'm going to be in church because that is God's will. Tithing is a part of God's will. 10%, I'm going to do it because it's God's will. Giving's the fun part. Being a witness to people, going to all the world and preach the gospel, that is the will of God, my friends. If you're not doing it, you are going against the will of God. And then we get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18. It says this, in everything give thanks. And it tells us why. You're with me. In everything give thanks because for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Watch me. If we have the problem of being ungrateful, we are out of the will of God. I'm just saying, this is a message for me. Because it's so easy to feel like I'm entitled to things. I walk into my church. I've been there for 48 years. Hey, serve me. No, no, no. I ought to come in with a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanks. Even say, wow, you are so good. You say, Brother Ramos, do you have bad days at church? 100%. Do you have bad days at your house? 100%. Sometimes, I hate to say it, my kids annoy me. I know that probably doesn't happen in your house. I just saw a little baby. How old is your little one? 6 weeks old. I have a hunch that when you're sleeping, he doesn't care. Do you even hear him? But you know what I found? Myself, that baby would cry all night and I would find myself complaining. It's easy to say, oh, look at the precious little bundle of joy when they're sleeping. But when you're trying to sleep and they're not interested in sleeping, it's hard to be thankful. Are you with me? But we have this entitlement to say, when things aren't going well for me, I can be unthankful. I have the right. That's not true because God says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Referees are the worst people on the planet. Both of my boys referee. My oldest son referees wrestling and soccer. My second son referees soccer. He came home one day, Titus came home and says, Dad, I will never argue with a referee ever again. I'll tell you why, because he's been on that side. I've sat in the stands and I'm listening to them curse at him. I'm listening to all these things. I'm thinking, I feel bad for him. Because you know what? When things are going well, one call, watch me, one call, this team is like, he's the best! Same call, other team like, he's a loser. Where did he get his license from? Goodwill? All I'm saying is, same play, same scenario, same call, two different parties. Now watch me, it goes the same in church, it goes the same at home, same pastor, some people love him, and some people hate him. Same parents, some kids love him, and some kids, all I'm saying is, shame on us when we feel like we have the right to reply against what God has blessed us with. And I'm saying this in the good times and in the bad times. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, his last letter. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he gives us a listing of what's going to be in the last days. I think there's 19 different characteristics. One of them is that they are unthankful. Romans chapter 1 is an interesting text. There is a lot of wicked sin listed in Romans chapter number 1. But because, notice this, and I'm reading this, but it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. I believe at the root of sins, yes, the love of money is the root of all evil, but right there with it, I think, is this sin of ingratitude. Now, as I said, I think it's fair to say I'm sitting in a group of people today that are thankful, and they say thank you, and I'm grateful, but watch me, I'm taking it to a new level. I'm talking this morning about being thankful for, what's the word? Everything. Let's try that again. What's the word? Everything. I don't know about you, I want to please the Lord. David was a good man. The Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. But there came a time where David committed adultery and committed murder. And this is what the Bible says about this. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. We could say, I get it, man, stinking murderer, stinking adulterer. And I'll tell you what, yeah, he made the Lord unhappy. But it's interesting, Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, talking about the people of Israel. Listen to this. The Bible says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Oh yeah, I get murder, and I get fornication, and I get all those things, but when it comes over here, but you know, we get a pass on this being unthankful because, you know, it didn't go my way. It didn't go the way that I thought. I didn't. In everything, help me out, give thanks. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But you say, hey, Brother Amos, they had manna for 40 years. Brother Gary, right? Can you imagine, how long have you and your wife been married? 20? 20 years. Can you imagine that every meal she served the same thing? I don't know if she can cook. I just met her this morning.
Sourdough.
Sourdough, okay. Okay, if it's sourdough. Every meal? Can you imagine? Breakfast, what you got, honey? Sourdough. Lunch, what do you got on the menu for lunch? Sourdough. Dinner, what you got? You get the hint? Now, hold on. Just to put it in perspective, it's easy for us to criticize the people of Israel. They had the same food 40 years. I get it. My wife makes rice a lot. Sometimes after 2 days, I'm like, done. No more rice for the next month. Someday I will rice again. But sometimes I get upset because we've had leftovers. The people of Israel, for 40 years, they had the same thing. Put it in perspective. They might not have even liked it. But that's what God gave them. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. Are you with me this morning? I'm still trying to get off the runway. It wasn't even their choice of food. It wasn't their choice. You're like, you don't know my mom. I don't. You don't know my mom. But what we're saying is when we complain, we're complaining against Him. Because that's the home that He put me. I remember complaining. Oh, I wish I was a preacher's kid. And I wish I was a missionary's kid. My dad's not a Christian. We don't have family devotions. Yada, 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 yada. But what I was doing was wrong. I was outside of the will of God. Now watch me. I believe this as much as I'm standing here. When the Lord began to work in my heart and I started to get right with the Lord, I began to not complain against my dad. He wasn't a Christian. I began to pray for my dad. I remember getting guys together. We began to get on our knees and say, God, save my dad. They would say, save Mr. Ramos. And I began to get right. And watch me. As I began to get right in my relationship and the thing that I knew I was supposed to do, God began to open up those windows and say, all right, now the mysteries, I'm going to trust you now with more because you're doing the right things with what you already know. Garrison, get this. This is big. You'll be way ahead of me if you can start saying, I'm going to find out what God in this book shows me to do. I'm going to start doing this. And then the doors will start to open. How do people know they're supposed to be missionaries? Where's Miss Elena? In Russia. I don't know. What do they do? Just like close their eyes, put their finger on a map? No. God begins to open up the mysteries when you start to do what's in black and white or if you have a red letter edition. So I told you we're going to get to Luke chapter 17. Are you there? And it's 11:30. So what I'm going to do is this. Well, we'll read the text. And I think you'll know where I'm going. And then I'm going to close with an illustration that I'm going to ask you to really listen to. It's a bit lengthy. I'm going to read it. But I think it'll make sense with what our message is for today. Luke 17, verse 11. It came to pass, as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Help me out. Leper, good thing or a bad thing? We don't understand it. We don't go to the local hospital and go to the leper ward. There is not that anymore. But basically, if somebody got leprosy, it was pretty much a death sentence. So these 10 men were lepers. They stood afar off. They were not able to be around people. If there was a crowd of people, they would have to stand off in the distance and they'd have to cry out something along these lines. Unclean! 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 Can you imagine that being your testimony? And they had to stand there, and everybody knew if you were around them, if you touched them, you were basically going to get leprosy and die. So it was a horrific, a terrible thing to have leprosy. Verse number 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. You say that's an odd thing. I would think you would tell them to go to the doctor. Back in those days, to the priest was the one that determined if a person was clean or unclean. So they'd have to go to the tabernacle and they would have to check it. They'd put them in ward for a while. They would check it. And the priest would be the one to declare you are clean or unclean. That's why Jesus told them to go to the priest. All right. So he says, go to yourself, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass. Now get this. I love this. That as they went. So they obeyed the will of the Lord when he says go. As they were going. You follow it? As they were doing the will of God, God healed all 10 of them. That's what it says. They were cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them. How many? How many were there? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And I want you to just notice this next phrase. And with a loud voice. You hear that? And with a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I just want you to grab this thought. Stay with me. When I have a need, Brother Todd, I am quite loud in letting people know I have a need. I'll raise my hand in our church. Hey, please pray for. I want everybody to know. I loudly proclaim what I need. Now watch me. These lepers, the Bible says they cried out. They were afar off and they were crying, Jesus, have mercy. We have a need. But watch me. When Jesus healed them, we only find one. Giving thanks. And how did he do it? He did it with a loud voice. I say it this way, loudly pray, but we also need to loudly praise. Do you really think people want our type of Christianity when we walk around with our lower lip hanging on the floor all the time? Now I understand, well, my dog died, my dad died, I lost my job, but I'm just happy. I understand, we're going to go through bad things, but our hearts ought to be filled with that thing called thanksgiving. You say, why, Brother Amos? Because it is God's will. Somebody's happy. I got one amen. I knew this wasn't going to go over very well. Thank you. Psalm 92, verse 1 says this, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Amen. But James says this, to him that knoweth to do good. Hold on, Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. James says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is... Oh. So what we're saying, Miss Sky, sorry for telling me your name because I'm going to call you out. What I'm saying is, if you're not thankful, if this guy up here is not thankful, If Miss Sue is not thankful, if Brother Connor is not thankful, if Miss KK is not thankful, it's fair to say, based on the Scriptures, that we are living in sin and we are not in the will of God. God will not give us more to do, more to understand, more to know until we start doing His will. So this is what's awesome. From the youngest to the oldest, I won't ask. Today, you can be in the center of God's will based on your thankful heart. Hold on. But being thankful for everything. I'd like to just give you five things. I'm just going to list them. Don't get nervous. Because the food is drifting this way. I smell it. Some of you came just for the meal. Sorry, you got to put up with me. That's your detention. But we get so used to people doing good things for us. Now watch me. We start to expect it. And when they don't, man, they didn't do me right. They didn't say hello to me today. And you start to come to church, and when you first came, I was like, "Hey, how you doing? So good to see you." Oh, I'm like showering, all this attention, and then you come for a year, and it's like they walk by like they don't appreciate me anymore. I'm just telling. This is what goes on in my mind. I mean, I'm serving all the time, running here, and they ought to at least say thank you, Brother Ramos, for all that you do. No, we get to the point where you start to expect people to do this, and it goes a step further. We start to expect God to do things in our timeline. And what happens is when we have a heart of ingratitude, are you with me this morning? I know it's Sunday morning, I'm enjoying myself, but we start to expect God, and we get ourselves in really deep trouble. And we can easily get out of God's will. Can I give you five things? Just write them down. I had heard some people say three things. I'm going to five. Number one, I'm thankful for good authority. That one doesn't go over well with young people. My mom, my teacher, my coach, my dad. I'm very thankful, and I'd like to loudly proclaim that I am thankful for good authority. Who in their right mind likes rules? Now, it would be awesome if I could say this as a testimony for the Ramos family, that my kids would come to me after they disobeyed and say, "Dad, I just want to thank you so much for whooping me. And because I want to be a disciplined child, because I understand foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. So I want you to give me a double beating." Can I just say, as a testimony for our house, that didn't happen. For my girls to come and say, "Dad, you know, we just believe that there should be brotherly love should be continuing." And so if you ever hear of us fighting amongst ourselves, although it is His fault, I will take the beating. No. So there's something about this idea of authority being a bad thing. No. Authority is a good thing. I'm here to say I'm thankful for the parents that God has blessed me with. I'm thankful, watch me, I'm thankful for the pastor who leads my church. He's younger than I am. I've had three pastors in my 48 years at our church. Three. And up to this point, two have been older than me. One could have been my dad. The other one's kind of friend, but he's still subject. Now my pastor is younger than me. And for the last 20 years, we've served on staff together. Can I go a step further? I used to be able to tell him what to do. "Hey, Jerry, go do that. Hey, Jerry." Now he's my pastor. And all the bad things he doesn't want to do, guess who gets those jobs? It would be easy for me to say, "I'm older, I've been at this longer, No. If I'm going to be right, if I'm going to be in God's will, I have to say thank you, God, for the pastor that I have, even if he gives me jobs that I don't like. Are you with me? I'm here to say loudly, I'm thankful for good authority. Number two, I'm thankful for a good church. You read Psalm 73 and you'll find a man that was a spiritual man. His name is Asaph. He's a lot of times who David would send his songs to put to music. And he was a good man. He was trying to live right. He was trying to live with a clean heart. He was trying to do some good things. And he started to look around and he saw people that were evil. He saw people that were wicked. And he got a little frustrated. He says, you know, I look at the evil and I was envious at them because it seemed like everything was going good for them. Here I am trying to obey my parents, trying to live for the Lord. And it just seems like life is just out of shape. And I look at them and they seem like they're happy. And my pastor's always been preaching about this and that. And it just doesn't add up. But you get to verse number 17 of Psalm 73. He says this. Until I went into the sanctuary, then understood I their end. What he was saying is I finally learned at church, the evildoers aren't going to last real long. Their day's coming. Their story's going to end. But those that live for the Lord will last and will continue on. And those that live by the word of the Lord, it says this word, will abide forever. But it all took him going to church. Can I just say, I don't know who's faithful and who's not. But let me encourage you. You ought to be in church every time the doors are open. You say, but you don't know Pastor Frick. He preaches way too long and way too loud. And my ears don't handle. And yet, no, I'm just saying, that is God's will. And you ought to be thankful that you have a church to go to. My son's praying about going to China this summer to visit a mission field. Every time those people decide to go to church, their life is on the line. Every time they leave their house, they're under scrutiny. And here we have churches wide open. I don't know how many churches in our Amboy. Probably hundreds. Maybe not hundreds. 10. church. Who cares? I'm thankful for a good church. Even though sometimes I don't always want to be there. I'm thankful for good examples to follow. We'll pass that one up. I'm thankful for good opportunities. You know, we have the opportunity to be clean in this wicked world. I preached to the young ladies yesterday about being a virgin. That's a bad word. It's a funny word, but it's a Bible word. You know, God used a virgin to bear His Son. My wife and I dated for 4 years. Now watch me. We never held hands in that 4 years of dating. We never did smoochy face. You say, did you want to? 100%. But I had some people that believed 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, that said it is good for a man not to touch a woman. They believed that. I can't say I believed it. But I had those mean old parents and those mean old chaperones and those mean old pastors said, you know what? While you're dating, just keep the flesh from getting involved and just do things right. Just pray. Follow the Lord. And you know what? We did that. We followed that path. May 25, 1999, she walked the aisle. We held hands for the first time. Ooh la la. We kissed for the first time. Ooh la la. And we just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary in May 25. We just went to San Diego and spent some time together. And you know what? When you do it God's way and you have those authorities in your life and those people that are helping you, you can say, amen! It's good to be thankful for those things, but sometimes when they don't treat you the way that you should, it's easy to not be thankful. I'm thankful for good opportunities to be clean, to be called, to be chastened, to be close to God. And I'll close with this. I'm thankful for a good God. It was sung before this started, but God is so good. Some of you say, I don't even know what you're talking about. You're missing it. God is so good. Now, remember what I said. That's easy to be thankful when your cupboards are full. Right? When your job is going well. When you get that promotion at work. But what happens when you lose your job? This is the real world. What happens when your kids don't do everything that you feel like you trained them to do? Been there. What happens when the people that you're serving on a bus route or in a class, when you go to their door and they cuss you out? I've been spit on right in the face by one of the kids I used to pick up for church. It's really not fun to be thankful then. Like, I can spit too. I didn't say that, but I thought it. When you're knocking on doors, doing what God wants you to do. You knock on the doors and someone opens the door and they cuss at you and slam the door. You know what I want to do, Brother Connor? I want to rip the door off the wall, throw it in the front lawn and say, do that again. That's my flesh. I'm not really thankful for those days. You with me? So I think I'm preaching to a group of thankful people when it comes to a certain point, but when we cross the line, I'm almost done, hang with me, we step out of the will of God. So I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to close your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to listen to this. I'm going to read this quickly, and I think you'll get the point. Sandra felt as low as the heels of her Birkenstocks. I didn't know what that was. I had to look it up. That's shoes. As she pushed against a November gust and the florist shop door. Her life had been easy, like the spring breeze. Then in the fourth month of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole her ease. During this Thanksgiving week, she would have delivered a son. She grieved over the loss as she lost that son in that accident. And if that weren't enough, her husband's company threatened to transfer. Then her sister, whose holiday visit she coveted, called saying she couldn't come. And what's worse, her friend infuriated her by suggesting her grief was a God-given path to maturity that would allow her to empathize with others who suffer. Yeah, you know how that is. She has no idea what I'm feeling, thought Sandra with a shudder. Thanksgiving? Thankful for what? For a careless driver whose truck was hardly scratched when he rear-ended her, for an airbag that saved her life but took that of her child? Good afternoon. Can I help you? The shop's clerk approached, startled her. I need an arrangement, stammered Sandra, for Thanksgiving. Do you want beautiful but ordinary, or would you like to challenge the day with a customer favorite I call the Thanksgiving Special? Asked the shop clerk. I'm convinced that flowers tell stories, she continued. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude this Thanksgiving? Not exactly, she blurted out. In the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. She regretted her outburst and was surprised when the shop clerk said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. Then the door's small bell rang and the shop clerk said, Hi, Barbara, let me get your order. She politely excused herself and walked toward a small workroom, then quickly reappeared carrying an arrangement of greenery, bows, and long-stemmed thorny roses. Except the ends of the rose stems were neatly snipped. There were no flowers. Do you want this in a box? Asked the clerk. Sandra watched for the customer's response. Was this a joke? Who would want rose stems with no flowers? She waited for laughter, but neither woman laughed. Yes, please. Barbara replied with an appreciative smile. You'd think after 3 years of getting the special, I wouldn't be so moved by its significance. But I can feel it right here all over again, she said as she gently tapped her chest. That lady just left with no flowers. Right, said the clerk. I cut off the flowers. That's the special. I call it, get this, the Thanksgiving thorn bouquet. Oh, come on, you can't tell me someone is willing to pay for that. Barbara came into the shop several years ago feeling much like you feel. She had very little to be thankful for. She lost her father to cancer. The family business was failing. Her son was into drugs and she was facing major surgery. That same year, I had lost my husband, the clerk said, and for the first time in my life, I had just spent the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family, and too great a debt to allow any travel. So what did you do? Asked Sandra. I learned to be thankful for thorns. I've always thanked God for good things in life and never asked Him why those good things happened to me. But when the bad stuff hit, did I ever ask? It took time for me to learn that dark times are important. I've always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible says that God comforts us when we're afflicted, and from His consolation, we learn to comfort others. Sandra sucked in her breath as she thought about the very thing her friend had tried to tell her. I guess the truth is, I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby, and I'm angry with God. Just then, someone else walked into the shop. Hey, Phil. My wife sent me in to get our usual Thanksgiving arrangement. 12 thorny, long-stem stems. Laughed Phil as the clerk handed him a tissue wrapped arrangement from the fridge. I said, for your wife? Do you mind asking why she wants something that looks like that? No, I'm glad you asked. Several years ago, my wife and I nearly divorced. After guidance, we slogged through problem after problem. He rescued our marriage. Jenny here, the clerk, told me she kept a vase of rose stems to remind her of what she learned from thorny times. And that was good enough for me. I took home some of those stems. My wife and I decided to label each one for a specific problem and give thanks for what that problem taught us. As Phil paid the clerk, he said to Sandra, I highly recommend the special. I don't know if I can be thankful for the thorns in my life, Sandra said. It's all too fresh. Well, my experience, the clerk said, shows me that thorns make roses more precious. We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than at any other time. Remember, I'm done. It was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so we might know His love. Don't resent the thorns. Tears rolled down her cheeks. For the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on resentment. I'll take those 12 long-stemmed thorns, please. I hoped you would. I'll have them ready in a minute. Thank you. What do I owe you? Nothing. Nothing but a promise to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me. The clerk smiled and handed a card to Sandra. It said this, My God, I have never thanked you for my thorns. I have thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Praise Him for your roses. Thank Him for your thorns. Now turn to Psalm 119, and I close with this. Some of you have dealt with things that I don't know. Pastor mentioned the people here that dealt with things that you don't know and I don't know. Not my business. But I've learned, I've watched, even in my own life, when my kids are doing well, it's easy to be thankful for my kids, but when they're not doing so well and they're rebelling against me, you know what I do? I get mad at God, I get mad at them. It's kind of like that crying little one. They just annoy me. Watch me. Whether my life is going good or bad, God is still good. Look at Psalm 119, and we'll close this down. Verse number 164. Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. I stopped to think about that, Brother Connor. I don't know if I do anything seven times a day. But the psalmist says, seven times a day do I praise Thee. You might today be hurting. I told this was going to be maybe a bit harsh. But the Bible says in everything, give thanks. You don't know my world. But it's easy to praise Him for the roses. But can I encourage you to thank Him for the thorns? Why? It's God's will. It's God's will. And I trust this is going to be a challenge and encouragement to us today. You're here today, you don't know the Lord as Savior. Can I say He bore the thorns for you? All the way back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, thorns came up as a result. Jesus says, I'll take those thorns. I'll take those thorns. So you could save your soul. Let's pray. Lord, I